Lord God, we thank you for these few minutes together, and we pray for understanding of this bit of your word. We thank you for the claims of Jesus. Please guide us in our thinking now as we reflect on what it means to be successful in life in your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So John 15 verse 1, let's hear the word of the Lord together. Jesus said, I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I've heard from the Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. You only live once. YOLO, as they say. You know, this isn't a dry run. This is it. So we all want to make the most of it, but how? You know, how do we make our lives count? What is a successful life? Online you can find a chart called Lost in Life? Which gives examples of people who took an indirect route to success. For the actor and producer Harrison Ford, he was a carpenter until his 30s. J.K. Rowling, single mom on benefits until the age of 31. Founder of McDonald's, he was selling paper cups and milkshake mixers until the age of 52. And the message is, don't give up, you know, just because you're not successful at the moment, it's still possible. You know, these people didn't achieve success until this or that age, and, you know, Harlan Sanders didn't start KFC until he was 65, and aren't we grateful for that? And now, what is success according to such thinking? It's all about achievement at work. It's about career success. And that is drummed into us, isn't it, from the earliest age, that this is success in life, getting top grades at school, getting into the top university, getting a top job, top income. Or if you prefer the shortcut nowadays, then you become a YouTube star and then you drive around in your black Lamborghini. You know, but is that really what a successful life is all about? I was reading a post by a man called John Jerrison. He says, I'm a 46-year-old banker. In a steady 9-to-7 job, 6 days a week, for 26 years. Today I found out that my wife has been cheating on me for the last 10 years. My son feels nothing for me. I realized I missed my father's funeral for nothing. I remember getting calls from mum telling me that he was getting sicker and sicker. I was getting busier and busier, on the verge of a big promotion. I kept putting my visit off, hoping he would hold on. He died. And I got my promotion. I hadn't seen him in 15 years. When he died, I told myself, well, it didn't matter that I didn't see him. Being an atheist, I rationalized that, you know, being dead, it wouldn't matter anyway. What was I thinking? To devote my entire life to a job, what was I thinking? I regret letting my job take over my life. I regret being an awful husband. I regret being a money-making machine. And he ends by saying, don't waste your life. That man came to see he'd been sold a lie. that success at work isn't what life is all about. So what is? In John 15, Jesus tells us. In verse 5, he says, I'm the true vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. According to Jesus, a successful life is a fruitful life. But what does that mean and how do we get there? So today we're continuing this series in the I Am sayings of Jesus, recorded in John's Gospel. Here in chapter 15, Jesus is with his followers the night before he's killed and taken from them. So these are some of his final instructions. And he tells them here how to make their lives count. Firstly, a successful life is a fruitful life. Jesus uses this image of him being a vine and his people being the branches. If you're a vine branch, your purpose is pretty clear, isn't it? To bear fruit. So a successful branch is one with grapes on it. You know, that's what a branch is for. And so as people, God's purpose for us is that we are fruitful, that we bear fruit in our lives. Now, that is success. But what does it mean? In the Bible, fruit is a picture of godly character and godly behavior. In Isaiah 5, the people of God are pictured as a vineyard, and the good fruit that they were supposed to bear was righteousness and justice, but instead they bore the bad fruit of drunken parties, materialism, corruption, injustice, and ignoring God. A fruitful life is a life that is lived to please God. So in Colossians 1 verse 10, it says that God's design for us is that we are bearing fruit in every good work. So it's about the person you are. It's about our characters, about our behavior. Good works in loving and serving other people, looking outward to others rather than being turned in on ourselves. The fruit image comes up in Galatians 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those qualities are the good fruit that God wants in our lives. Now, the only person ever to live out that kind of fruitful life 100%, 24/7, was, of course, Jesus. And the rest of us will be aware of how far short we fail in this, and a lot of the time. But Matthew chapter 3, verse 8 is an encouragement. It says this, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. One mark of the fruitful life is that we are committed to ongoing repentance, that is, turning from what is wrong as we become aware of it. And as God's people live such fruitful lives, living out the gospel, sharing the gospel with other people, so there is the fruit of other people becoming joined to the vine themselves. And so Colossians 1 verse 6 says, all over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and is growing. Now, if success in God's eyes is the fruitful life, then that's encouraging. Because it means that to make your life count, you don't need to get to the top in your career. And let's face it, most of us here are not going to do that. But it's not about that. It's about the person you are, and it's about the way you behave. So it's a very different value system. It's a very different measure of success. And it means that your life can be a success even if you lose your job, or you're a stay-at-home parent, or you work on the tills at Asda, or you clean out the drains for a living, or you spend your life as a carer for a family member. It's encouraging, but it's also challenging, because it means that it is possible to be a great success in the world's eyes and maybe in your own eyes, but to have wasted your life in God's eyes. And nothing could be worse. John 15 tells us what happens to branches that don't bear fruit. So look at verse 2. Jesus says, every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he, God the Father, takes away. And verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. A fruitless life is an ungodly life. We've seen already some of the marks of that in Isaiah 5. Drunkenness, materialism, corruption, injustice. Galatians 5 contrasts the good fruit of the Spirit with things like sexual immorality, impurity, enmity, jealousy, envy, and so on. So bad works instead of good works. In God's eyes, such a life is a wasted life. And it doesn't matter if you got top grades, and you went to the best university, and you reached the summit in your career, and you made shed loads of money. If you're fruitless, you're a failure. And your life is wasted. Because the whole point of a vine branch is to bear fruit. That is what we're on the planet for. Branches that don't do that, verse 6 says, they wither. Maybe a picture of a dried out life, a dried out character. Perhaps outwardly successful, but shriveled up as a person, just a shell. And their fate in verse 6 is to be thrown into the fire and burned, which is a picture of final judgment. So a fruitful life, it's not just a nice to have, it's essential. Because in the end, it's fruit or fire. So how do we get this fruitful life? How do we become such fruitful branches? And the answer is through Jesus. And that's our second point on the outline, that the fruitful life comes through Jesus. You don't need to be a gardening expert to work out that there's only one way that a vine branch produces grapes, and that is by being attached to a vine, which is the source of its life and fruitfulness. So what is the vine to which we need to be attached? Verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. To live a fruitful life, we need to be united with him. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel were supposed to be the vine, but they failed. They didn't produce the good fruit that God wanted. So God sent Jesus, the Son of God, as the true vine. And to bear good fruit, we need to be in him. Striking, isn't it, that the New Testament hardly ever uses the term Christian. Instead, it talks about a person being in Christ, united to him. So how do you become in Christ? How do you become a branch attached to Jesus, the true vine? Well, through faith. Through putting our trust in Jesus and his death for us. Not through good works. And this is such a crucial distinction. The purpose of a branch is to bear fruit. But you don't become a branch through bearing good fruit. Galatians 2:16 says that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So many people get this wrong, don't they? So many people think God accepts those who do good. It's at the heart of Islam, for example. You know, if you do enough good and it outweighs the bad, Allah will accept you. And plenty of churchgoers think the same. But Jesus is saying the good life doesn't get you right with God. The good life is a fruit of being right with God through faith in Jesus. The one who in verse 13 lays down his life for his friends, dying so that we might be forgiven. Maybe here you were here the other week when we had Jay Mariner as our special guest, a former drug dealer. The talk's online, worth listening to if you missed it. He used to be a drug dealer. It was a wasted life. He's doing damage to himself. He's doing damage to countless others he was selling this stuff to. But now he's living a fruitful life. He's loving other people. He's serving other people. How did that change come about? Well, not through him turning over a new leaf and trying to be better, but through hearing about Jesus and putting his trust in him. Once we are united with Jesus through faith, the fruitful life flows from that. And we are totally dependent on him. So if you look at verse 5, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We are as dependent on Christ for spiritual life and spiritual fruitfulness as a baby in the womb is dependent on the mother getting all its needs through the umbilical cord. That's very humbling, isn't it? Because it means however brilliant you may be, however determined you may be, apart from Christ, you are
You're a withered stick.
Now, does it mean that apart from Jesus, it is impossible to bear good fruit? So apart from Jesus, can someone not do any good at all? Well, of course they can in some sense. An atheist mum can still love her child. A Muslim worker can still be kind to his colleagues. A Hindu couple can still be faithful to each other rather than sexually immoral. Someone who's an atheist can be a philanthropist if they've got lots of money. But if these acts are not the fruit of faith in Christ, if they're not the result of being united with his life, if they're not the outworking of a heart changed by the Spirit of God, they can't please God. You're a withered stick. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's the difference between a vine and a Christmas tree. They may both look attractive, the vine with its branches, its bunches of grapes, the Christmas tree with its shiny baubles and lights and tinsel, but one is alive and the other is dead. One is growing and producing fruit, and the other will soon wither and drop its needles all over your floor and clog up your Hoover and get thrown away and be burnt. And that is why it's so vital that we become branches in the true vine. It's our only hope. To be in Jesus, and secondly, to remain, to abide in him. And that theme is repeated throughout the passage, isn't it? So verse 4, if you look at that, he says, abide in me. Or verse 5, whoever abides in me. Verse 7, if you abide in me. So once we're in Christ through faith, our responsibility is to remain in Christ. And if we do that, we'll bear much fruit. Verse 5 says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And if we don't, verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. Whichever way you voted on Brexit, should we just have a show of hands? No, we won't do it. Whichever way you voted on Brexit, if you are in Christ, you need to remain. You need to abide. He's remain in him, not leave. Everything hangs on us remaining. Now, how do we do that? Well, by obeying, verse 7 says. If you look at that verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So Jesus' words are his teaching. Continuing in him means continuing in his teaching, so you can obey him. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Well, what did he command? Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. So the Bible has a central place in the remain life. Reading it, living by it. The remain life is a life committed to obeying Jesus Christ. But it's not an obedience that just flows from our own effort and our own willpower. It's an obedience empowered by Christ. That the obedience is a fruit of being in him. It's frustrating, isn't it, when you buy something, maybe it's a gadget for yourself or a toy for the kids, and you open this thing and then you discover that it says, batteries not included. Oh, and you turn the house upside down, you can't find a battery for love or money, and the thing's useless. The Christian life is not like that. In the Christian life, batteries are included. But notice that the power supply doesn't just flow automatically. We need to ask God. And prayer is a recognition of our dependence on God, on Christ. So verse 7, he says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So to be fruitful, we need to ask God. Incidentally, that is what the asking is about here. It's asking God to produce this good fruit in us, through us. So the promise there of whatever you wish in verse 7, it does not mean if you pray hard enough, a red Ferrari is going to be parked outside your house tomorrow morning. But the fruitful life is also painful. So verse 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Pruning is when you cut away bits of the plant or the tree to make it more fruitful. And if you are a branch, that is going to be painful surgery. Pruning is essential. Now, I'm going to quote from no less an authority than the University of Missouri Department of Horticulture. So here it comes. They say, pruning is one of the most important and most neglected practices in home planting of grapes. Regular, purposeful pruning is essential for controlling the yield and the quality of the fruit. Okay, well, God the Father is the expert gardener, and he is committed to that, to regular, purposeful pruning. We're not told here what that involves, but when you get to Hebrews 12, it describes how God uses hardships and difficulties to produce what it calls the fruit of righteousness in our lives. So he allows hard times, he allows disappointments, setbacks, sorrows, to cut back the unfruitful things in our lives and character, so that we bear even more fruit. But it does mean that being fruitful is going to be painful. But it's also joyful. So if you look at verse 11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Religion is not a joyful business. Religion is guilt-ridden, this weary treadmill of duties performed to try and gain acceptance with God. But being in Christ is joyful. There's the joy of living a fruitful life. So verse 5, the promise there is of much fruit. And again in verse 8, much fruit. There's joy because at the heart of this fruitful life is relationship with Jesus, who loves his people. See that in verse 9? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 12, love one another as I have loved you. Verse 14, you're my friends if you do what I command. So the branches are friends of Jesus, loved by Jesus. Now that is very different, isn't it, to the sort of distant, cold attitude to God that you find in religion. Jonathan Aitken, former cabinet politician, he describes how he used to relate to God before he came to Christ. He says the relationship I had with God was not unlike the one I had with the local bank manager in the country town where I grew up. I knew he existed, that he was a person of some importance who was to be respected. I spoke to him politely, visited his premises intermittently, occasionally asked him for a small favour or overdraft to get myself out of difficulties, thanked him condescendingly for his assistance, kept up the appearance of being one of his reasonably reliable customers, and maintained superficial contact with him on the grounds that one of these days he might come in useful. What a contrast to the love and friendship with Jesus Christ that guy Jonathan Aitken now enjoys. And there's the joy of knowing that a life lived for God ultimately brings glory to God. So verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So not living to make a name for yourself, but a name for him who deserves it. You know, the joy of living something bigger, something better than yourself. Well, is it wrong to be ambitious? Is it wrong to want to be successful? Well, it depends. Ambitious for what? Successful in what? If your driving ambition in life is to make a name for yourself and to be a big career success, and to make as much money as possible, you're more likely to end up wasting your life. Like that man John Derrison I quoted at the beginning. A successful life is a fruitful life. Being in Jesus through faith, remaining in him and bearing much fruit in a life of growing godly character and good works and service. Now, that should be our ambition. A fruitful life through knowing Jesus, which will bring joy to us and good to others and glory to the Father. And if that is our driving ambition, we'll be on the right track, both in this life and in the life to come. Well, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would be those who, through faith in Christ, are joined to him as branches in the vine. And we pray that we would bear much fruit for our joy and for others' good and for your glory. Amen.